The kingdom of heaven is like when a lobsterman fisherman falls overboard in the dark of night and no one knows. The New York Times article read like a parable. John Aldridge was 40 miles off the tip of Long Island when it happened. His business partner was asleep, as was the other fisherman on the boat. John needed to open the tanks and start filling them with seawater to be ready for their first catch, but it was hard to do alone. He used all his weight, pulling hard, but this time the plastic handle snapped. John flew backwards down the wide, slick deck until he plunged into the water. The boat, with its course set on autopilot and its diesel engine covering his cries for help, puttered away. It was silent and dark and cold. John's first thought was, "This is how I'm going to die." He willed himself to stay positive, though, to be strong, to get creative. If you fall overboard, basic fishing wisdom is to kick off your boots to lose their dead weight. But John realized that his boots seemed to be pushing him up. And so he awkwardly pulled them off and fought to lift them high above the water and then drove them back down, holding them as makeshift buoys under his arms. The kingdom of heaven is like when a fisherman lost at sea is given the wisdom to take the very thing that ought to sink him and use it to help himself stay afloat. I think today's gospel is kind of a parable, too, one of those stories of Jesus that throws unlikely things side by side. The kingdom of heaven is like a leader coming to the teacher by night and letting all his searching questions tumble out of his mouth. The kingdom of heaven is like a seasoned teacher who, even in his irritation, works to keep unpacking this mystery with the seeker. And it's more than that. In this brief conversation, I hear the foreshadowing of Jesus' emerging ministry, his commitment to finding the lost. He will go out to find people in their own wilderness, find those whose lives have gone sideways. He will find those racked by doubt and questions and hold space for them. He will search for us when we find ourselves in waters deeper than we can fathom, watching what safety we have known receding into the distance. This is the dark night where Jesus is ready to receive us. Back in the dark Atlantic, the parable continued unfolding. Still very much alone, John set one goal: stay awake till dawn. He thought of his family back on Long Island. As a first-generation fisherman, his family wasn't thrilled with his dangerous career choice. They had tried to talk him out of it. John remembered earlier in the year when, out of the blue, he made his sister a promise. "If I ever get into trouble out there," he told her, "just know that I'm going to do everything I can to get back home." The kingdom of heaven is like a fisherman lost at sea who will do everything he can to get back home. And the kingdom of heaven is like the lost fisherman's friends searching, trying desperately to save him. The other fisherman, Mike, woke up first around 6 a.m., fully 2.5 hours after John had gone overboard and discovered that he was missing. He yelled for John's partner, Anthony. It was now many hours after John should have woken them up, but he did that sometimes, working through the night to let them rest. Anthony was confused by the bright sun and then quickly understood the situation with horror. They called the Coast Guard. The problem was that they had no idea when, and therefore where, John had fallen out of the boat. They estimated that he could survive for 19 hours in the cold water. The search area spanned 1,800 square miles. It seemed impossible. The story of Nicodemus is a curious one. Jesus' responses to his questions are mysterious and slippery, seeming to create more ambiguity and reason for doubt, with the Spirit who blows where she will, and the call to be born from above, which leaves Nicodemus reeling. From within that uncertainty, Jesus tries to spell it out for him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So loved. Eternal life. Not condemnation, but saving. It is, at its most basic level, an almost unimaginable gift. And these verses have been misused and twisted to great damage. They've been used to divide people, who's in from who's out. They've been used to shame and berate people, asking people to prove if they're faithful enough, and shunning them if they seem like maybe they're not. But Jesus didn't make the promise to those who were already in. He offered it to the one filled with fear and doubt. It's a promise he makes to those who are walking a treacherous path. At many points in life, we find ourselves in the grip of death, mourning a relationship that has ended, or plodding through a deadening job, or sinking under the weight of chronic illness. We find ourselves there, and in those dark nights, we are given this promise that God is close at hand, that God is there to help save us, to help us hang on until sunrise. And it's a promise that plays out through all of us as the body of Christ. Just as we are called to serve as Christ's hands in the world, we're called to be part of the search and rescue team also. Saving and being saved is a team sport. We are not saved on our own. We are saved all together. And so the parable continues. The kingdom of God is like everyone searching their hearts and searching their minds, deciphering how we can help each other make it home. And that is what happened off the shore of Montauk. A plane, a helicopter, and a boat all set out. The news sped through the fishing community, and nearly everyone had the same response. How can I help? Typically, the Coast Guard responds with a kind, thanks, but no thanks. But they were desperate, and these fishermen knew the waters better than anyone. Soon, 21 more boats joined the effort, and Anthony, John's partner, began organizing their search patterns from his tiny cabin. John was still entirely lost. But he also knew that expanse so intimately, and so he decided to search for buoys. After hours of strategic drifting, he managed to catch one. By noon, though, he was losing hope. He was shaking cold. Shrimp and sea lice were attaching themselves to his clothes. The buoy didn't actually help much. So he hacked it loose and drifted and kicked for some indeterminable amount of time until finally he reached another buoy. He tied them together so at least he could straddle the rope. John knew he would not last another night. After 2 o'clock that afternoon, the helicopter finished their third search pattern of the day. They had 1 hour left before they would have to return to refuel, but once they landed, they would not be allowed to fly again. The next day would be too late. They requested one more pattern, but then learned that the computer program used to generate the search patterns had crashed. The crew was instructed to return home. But they argued back, fighting to make use of what little fuel they still had. Couldn't they do something? And finally, the folks back on land relented, giving them a simple, unconventional line to follow. 12 minutes later, a member of the helicopter crew yelled, "Mark! Mark! Mark!" He saw something. They circled, and sure enough, there was John, suspended between two buoys, waving fervently. They helped him into a rescue basket, along with his unlikely life-preserving boots. John was safe. Being saved, finally making it home, it doesn't always happen with helicopters or boats. I have been found by a 2-sentence note in the mail. I've been saved by an unexpected knock at the door, a beloved deciding to come when she suspected I needed her. When I have been lost at sea, I have been found and carried back in the net of so many prayers winged from near and far. I've been picked up and sailed home in this simple meal, a piece of bread broken and shared. This searching, this saving, it begins in the promise that Jesus makes to one friend who is riddled with doubt and questions in the dark of night. And this saving continues through the community of faith across the ages as it humbles itself to serve in love. This saving was never meant to keep some folks in and others out. It was never intended to be a badge of honor or a sign of status. It has always been about us finding one another when we are lost, gathering each other back into God's presence, helping each other to come home. The kingdom of heaven is like a fisherman lost at sea who is saved by his whole community. The kingdom of heaven is like a holy teacher who welcomes the hardest questions in the dark of night and who is ready to search for us in the wilderness for however long it takes. And the kingdom of heaven is like each of us, sometimes lost and sometimes able to help with the search, finding our way home to God's love together.